we have Brother Larry for our next hour. And Brother Larry has told me that this is going to be a little bit different. This is not going to be what we would consider to be a typical type of a talk, but maybe more interactive. But I'll leave that for Brother Larry. His title is Pack Your Bags. Pack Your Bags. Brother Larry.
That was a quick intermission, so we didn't have time to get wired up here. Brother Tim, can I just put this on? Okay. Might have to hook me up here while we're beginning. Good thinking. Okay, very good. Well, brother, first of all, I've got to tell you it's a joy to be here with all of you at convention. We bring you the Christian love and greetings of your brethren in Clearwater, Florida, and hopefully we brought a little sunshine and a little warmer weather with us. Maybe that's why it's beautiful here. We certainly appreciate the loving hospitality of Sister Sally and Brother Ed Heidelbach, as well as all the arrangements the brethren have made here at convention for our feet washing and to praise the Lord in our endeavors to glorify His name. And we are going to try something a little bit different today. And I'm actually going to, before we get started, let me just send some love to from our class. I think I may be brought that. Particularly, I wanted to bring the love and greetings of Brother Harry Nugent and Sister Mary. Sister Ruth Rupp wanted to be remembered to you. My mother, Sister Hazel McClellan. Brother Art and Sister Esther Ledwinka. And is that it, Sister Debbie? Okay. You know, I grew up here as a boy. I was born in Mount Carmel Mercy Hospital, and I'm going to walk away from the podium because I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. So if you've got any cameras or whatever, I apologize. I'm a teacher by profession and an educator, so I'm used to walking around amongst a group. I'm not used to standing there like this, so it's much more comfortable for me to be just like this. And I'm probably, when Jesus was on the Sermon on the Mount, he probably just didn't stay in one place. He probably moved around, you know, so I think it's okay with everybody. So I apologize if it's not. We grew up in Detroit and have many wonderful blessings here. I've got my Sunday school teacher, Sister Bessie, sitting over here. She could tell you some stories. And many other brother and Sister Loris back there, known for years and years. So many other ones. When we would go to Jackson, Brother Wally there and Sister Erna. And all the family of the Buckleys, his sisters, his mother, his dad, knew them all. And were wonderful brethren for blessing us coming up to Michigan State there when we were kind of lonely. Before some of the rest of them joined us, like Brother Tom Gilbert and Ken and Brother Bob out there. But we have some precious memories. We've known Brian since youth, and I'm looking around the room here, and there's some others out there I know. So, and Sister Lumley and Brother Ray, we've known them from Jackson. So we're really very thankful to be here. Brother Ken Bordes back there. I love Brother Ken. He and my mother were like this, sisters in Christ. And it left us a wonderful legacy of the truth. And I love Brother Ken for being the zealous brother that he is in witnessing for the Lord's name and character. So it's wonderful to be back home, so to speak. And what we're going to do is we're going to make this kind of an interactive discourse, something a little bit different than we normally have, and not so much of a passive discourse, you listen to it, we give the presentation, but more, we'd like to try to engage you more in an interactive discussion. Hopefully this will be more like a three-fourths discourse, one, you know, one-fourth or maybe two-thirds discourse, one-third interaction from the brethren, and a lot's going to depend on you, how much you are going to get your hand up. Now, Brother Tim, I think we're going to have some couple of mics, maybe. Good. He's right on it. So we have one back here and one over here. Thank you, brothers. And so what we're going to do, we're just going to start off by, you know what analogies are, right? You're familiar with the analogy, you know, of Abraham and his wives and all of that. We're going to kind of make this into an analogy, and we want to make it kind of an introspective type experience for you as well. Whereas we kind of do a checkup on our consecrations, we're going to go on this journey with this individual, and we're going to go from Detroit to Florida, okay? I wonder how that sounds familiar. But in this case, it'll probably be a female that will take this journey. It's a young sister that has been asked to come to a new school down in the Canaan County Schools in Florida, to a city called the New Jerusalem. And you'll start getting the picture here as we go. And she's very excited about it. And she is trying to get prepared for this journey, for this trip. We sang in our hymn, we have a city, right, that we're journeying to. Well, this is the city she's journeying to. And along the way, she'd like to pick up another sister in Christ, because she's also a teacher. And she wants to serve and take her along with her. But when she gets into the, you know, situation where she's ready to go, obviously, what do you have to do? You have to pack your bags, right? You got to get ready for the trip. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be going from analogy on the one hand, and then I'm going to be going to the reality and application on the other, okay? So I guess the first thing we'd like to say, though, is some of this discourse, you know, we would solicit just one or two words. If you want to speak out, that's fine, and I'll just repeat it. But if you have something more to say, then raise your hand, and we'll have a mic come to you if you'd like to elaborate a little bit more. So instead of making them run all over for one word or two words, if you just want to say that, and I'll repeat it, or if you want to say a little bit more, although I do take the right to go like this if you take it too long, time out, right? So, because we only have so much time, and I'm going to need somebody to tell me when we've got about 10 minutes left, so I'm not left with her halfway to Florida on this trip, because there's a lot of things that are going to go on this journey. So I also would like to reserve the right to say, you know, that's all the time we have for that. Or if your hand's up, I beg your forgiveness, but we won't be able to call on you, okay? So, because we have to move on. So on this journey, I guess the question is, you know, how are you going to get there? Well, in this case, you got to decide whether you're going to take a plane or, you know, a train or a car or whatever. I guess not too many people take trains anymore, but there was a day, and I did have the fortune of taking one when I was small, so I knew how that worked. But in this case, it's going to be an older vehicle. You know, let's say it's going to be like a, you know, an old VW bus, you know, but it runs great, right? And, oh, by the way, you need to have your bags with you. So I just happened to bring a bag here, thanks to Brother Ed and Sister Sally. They helped me pack my bags last night. You always know when you're staying too long. They say, would you like us to help pack your bags? So I guess the question is now, what do you want to pack? What do you think's important? Well, in this case, you might have a good map, right? How many think you might need a map? Of course, we have Garmin's today, I know. But let's say we use a map for the journey. What might you pack for this? Well, you know what? I think there might be something along the way where you might use some sunglasses, right? By the way, these are S-O-N sunglasses. All right. So you want to be able to look at things from the perspective of your master, right? That's why these are sunglasses. And on the side of these are printed, let's see, WJ, let's see, WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? Right? So you want to wear those. What about a smartphone? I've got a dumb phone over there. It doesn't work too well. I'm going to trade up soon. But this is a smartphone. Again, thanks to Brother Ed. And I want you to think what some of these things could be. Like on this analogy or on this journey, I want you to ask yourself, okay, what would be the reality of this? Okay, well, what is it? It's a tool of communication, correct? So what would be your tool of communication? Prayer, right? In your life, and here's where we start getting into the interactive aspect, as you take this journey, okay, to your heavenly Canaan, so to speak, where does prayer fit into your life? How important is prayer in your life? And you're welcome to give any comments you want or a scripture if you have a scripture. All right? I know you all have a prayer life. The question is, how important is that prayer life? What do you think? Any hands? Brother Jim? Yep. And if anybody would like to elaborate on that a little bit. In your life, where does prayer come in? Does it come in like in the morning when you have breakfast and at lunch and then at dinner and then at night when you go to bed? 24/7, right? So you should have, you should be in an attitude of constant prayer, shouldn't you? Even though you're not literally praying all the time, your attitude should be reflecting to the Father in prayer all the time. Brother, over here, Brother Norman. Hold 1 second, Brother Norman.
Be instant in prayer.
Very good. And I think that's the idea, is to be ready to pray in any situation, right? I mean, how many have prayed while they're driving? Of course, their eyes are open, hopefully. But I mean, you know, you don't have to close your eyes when you pray, right? So you're praying when you're driving. You get into some situations where, you know, you have to make a decision quickly and your mind goes up to the Lord in prayer, correct? So that's critically important. Anything else somebody wants to share about prayer? How has it made a difference in your life, Brother Rich? Right here.
Well, if you want to use a coordinate system with your Garmin as a GPS system, prayer acts as your God positioning system.
There you go. That's a good one, too. That's a good analogy, all right? So you can have that the guidance system over here, Brother Jim.
7 days without prayer makes 1 week.
That's right. You know what I... When I thought of the title of this discourse, I thought of two brethren, you know, pack your bags. It sounds like one Brother Jim would give a title, as well as Brother Buckley. Remember Brother Buckley used to, did you lose your keys? Remember those titles he used to have? So I was thinking about him as well. Yes, yeah, so we need to have an umbilical cord, so to speak, with the Father of being an attitude of prayer constantly. Because what is he looking for when we pray? What is the Lord looking for when we pray? Our heart's desire, right? He's looking for our heart's desire to be continually knowing what? His will, right? Not our will, because that's what we consecrated to do was His will. His will be done. So He wants to see how much we come to Him in reality to know what His will. Father, please reveal what Your will is to me. I want to know. And then we try to prepare ourselves, right, in various ways to be able to receive that. So we have a smartphone, and it's smart to use prayer a lot. And the more that you use that privilege of prayer, we'll receive the blessings from that prayer. So we have that smartphone, and we try to have that continual communication in every hour of need, right? And He's always open unto our prayers. So it's a good thing to pack this. We have the map, right? We also have a compass. I think it's probably a good idea. Don't you think it's a good idea to have a compass? Either they build them in now to the cars. This one is the best one I could come up with. And a map. So what could these represent? Well, I would suggest the compass might represent being guided by the Spirit of the Lord. All right? So when you don't know which way to go, to the right or the left, what do you hear? A little voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." So if I'm kind of lost on the road a little bit and it's dark and raining, And I've got a guidance system here that's simple, a compass one. It's kind of directing my path. And I've got this map, right? And when I have this map, I open it up and I see exactly, you know, where am I now? I'm on I-75 and I'm heading south, right? Some people would go to Florida that way. And so I try to look here, and of course this would represent what? The Bible, right? The Scriptures. The Scriptures are our guide as to know, you know, what we're looking for, what cities, what evidences, what landmarks or whatever it is, what it is to know the direction that we're going, to stay on the right path, right? The Scriptures will help us to stay on the path we need to go. So clearly we need to study, correct? We need to study. We need to internalize what the Heavenly Father has given to us in this Word of Truth. Now, not everybody can understand this, right? You got to have a what? You got to have this compass to really understand it. Because the Heavenly Father took this book, and what did He do? A lot of people read these same words, don't they, as us. They know the Scripture. Some people know the Scriptures better than we do. They can quote them just like this out there. I've heard them. However, we have this. We have the Holy Spirit. And so as a result, what the Lord has put into words, actually the spirit or essence of those words is what is the Word of God. Let me repeat that. The spirit or essence of those words is what is the Word of God, because He has encrypted from a spiritual mind and put into letters and words that which only a spirit mind can decode. Does that make sense? So the more your goal is to have more of the Holy Spirit, so you can have more of the mind of God to decode what He's encrypted, which other people would like to understand and cannot. Make sense? So we have to make sure that we try to have this, the Holy Spirit, to understand this, right, in our analogy, and stay as close as we can to this map, because we could easily, you know, get off track if we don't. So we need to have that. What would you have any extra to add about the study of the Word, how important that is? Well, what Scripture can you think of? Sister Debbie? Good. Very good. What is that? 1 Timothy 2:15, something like that. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So the more we study, the more we understand what God's expectations are for us, and as a result, if we're in heart harmony with Him and looking for His will, we can make compliance with those expectations and find a smile of approval upon His face, right? So as a result, we want to make sure that we study as much as we can and not just let it go to our head, but let it trickle down into our hearts, right? And apply it appropriately. Brother Tom?
A magnet is controlled by the invisible forces in the Earth's magnetic field. And so the Holy Spirit is an invisible force. But a magnet can be fooled. A compass can be fooled. If you put another magnet, you're going to misdirect it. And I think that other magnet could be preconceived ideas. It could be self-will. It could be anything that would interfere with the Lord's Spirit working in us. And there's a lot of things. There's millions of magnets around us. And so our goal is to sweep those away, to be totally emptied, and to be honest and to look for His will in the right interpretations.
Excellent thoughts. Appreciate that input very much, Brother Tom. Yeah, if you want to do a good science experiment, speaking as a science teacher, you can take a bowl of water and take a little piece of styrofoam. Take a paper clip, open up the paper clip, and then stroke it with a magnet about 50 times in a circular fashion like this, okay? And what you will do is you will align the magnetic domain of that paper clip. And as you align the magnetic domain or the polarity, north-south pole polarity of that, that paper clip will spin around to a north-south polarity of the Earth, because it's just what Brother Tom said. It's all around us, right? But there can be other things that interfere with that and make it go a different direction than what it should be. And those interferences are what we're going to be talking about a little bit more here. Okay, so you've got a smartphone, a map, you've got the sunglasses, S-O-N, probably a flashlight would be a good idea, right? And you might be in the dark sometime and you want to know your way. So I guess that would be kind of similar in a way as far as a lamp under the feet. This won't be a perfect analogy. But we'll try to, only the Lord can come up with those, not Brother Larry, but we'll try to make it close. With this old VW bus, but it runs good, right? You were having some problems with it. And as a result of having problems with it, from time to time, you bought this VW manual. Now, this one isn't actually a VW manual, but we got the cars we could. but this VW manual, you actually go through and read about it because you're having problems with your carburetor. And so you study and you learn how the machinery works, right? Would it be a good idea to pack that in there, or do you think, well, we won't need this anymore? So I've already read it. My car runs good. What do you think? Pardon me? How many think we should pack it in? Why is that? In case we have trouble, right? It's still possible we could have trouble. We could, the machinery could start not operating right. Carburetor could, malfunction. And we might be down the road there, sitting somewhere at a rest area and trying to fix our car. So I think maybe that would be a good idea to pack that. In fact, it might not be a bad idea because we're not as familiar maybe with that carburetor situation as we like to keep reading over that. In fact, it might not be a bad idea to have read the whole manual. You know, brethren, we have a manual to help us understand this book we call the Bible, right? Right here. What's our manual? Studies in the Scriptures. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get the impression that brethren think, gee whiz, I've read this once, I don't need any more. Let me just have Bible study. Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with Bible study, we're Bible students. But don't put away your manual, right? You're gonna need that. Because in that manual, it showed you how the machinery worked, how the carburetor worked, how you could make the calibrations on that carburetor. Some of you know a lot more about automotive, you know, improvements than I do, that's for sure. But if you keep that manual in good shape and you reread it, you're going to understand the operation of how to fix it, correct, if it starts having some issues. You're going to say, no, that's not right. You know, I need to go back to those pages and figure out exactly how that machinery works so I can keep my vehicle running in good operating condition. So I would definitely pack this manual. In fact, I would read it over and over again to make sure I was an expert at running that machine, that VW bus, because it could break down any time. Brother Norm?
Brother Russell says, in order to become an elder, you should have read the 6 volumes of Scripture studies. How can you possibly feed the flock and protect the flock if you don't know how to, if you don't have the harvest message in your heart and understand it?
Well, exactly. And you know, again, like Brother Tom said in his talk, and some of us, many of us have been raised in the truth. And so it's like, you know, I've seen these books all my life, you know, I've had them on our shelves and whatever. And it's like, you know, I don't need this. I'm going to like learn some new stuff, some maybe new light, you know, of understanding. But I'm telling you, Brother Jim, how many men did Jesus have in his hand during the gospel age in what, Revelation 1? How many men?
Seven.
Seven men. In all of 2,000 years, he had 7 men. That was it. And one of those, the last one, was who? Don't be too quick to disesteem that one of the 7 only men that Jesus Christ had in his hand. The Lord had a reason for sending that one to us to give us meat in due season, right? And as a result, if we think that we know more than he does now or can go to other pastures, right, you're going to lose out on a huge blessing of understanding and appreciation. So appreciate what the Lord has given to us in this period of time we live, in the last stage of the church. And certainly we don't worship Brother Russell, but we certainly have a high appreciation for what he gave us as far as that 7 messenger to the church in meat in due season. So it's very important that we keep that manual and study it and know it really well, especially if our machinery starts breaking down, right? What are your reasons for going on this trip? You got to have some reasons for going. We mentioned, right, in this analogy that you were going to travel down there and you were going to go to a school. It's a new school called New Jerusalem Academy in New Jerusalem in Canaan County Schools in Florida. Okay? You got that? So as a result, you have to know where you're going and why you're going there, right? And by the way, the assistant superintendent you've been communicating with and got to meet on several occasions, and you are engaged to the assistant superintendent of schools. I try to figure that out now. Not the superintendent, but the assistant superintendent, right? And you're a female going there, right, on that journey. So I'll try to catch that part of the analogy. So you got some really good reasons to go there, and you have a vision. You have a vision because these students have come from all over the world, and they are going to be engaged in this new educational program, and you're going to be a part of this. So you're pretty excited about being a part of that. Brethren, why are you consecrated? To do the will of God. That's a big one. That's it. That's what you're asked at your immersion, right? To do the will of God. It's a surrender. It's a submission. That's what consecration means, doesn't it? It's a surrender, a submission to do the will of God, right? Why else, along those lines, why else are you consecrated? Some other hands up here. Sister Karen?
To help
to help mankind up the highway of holiness. What does that involve? Tell me more about this vision.
Helping to write the laws into their heart, and so they can too become God's children.
You know, Sister Karen and I share something as far as teachers, and we've seen a lot of children have a lot of issues, a lot of handicaps, right? Some that break your heart, right? Some that bring tears to your eyes. And when you see the situations, especially the day that a lot of these children come from, with the baggage that they come into the classrooms with, and how they have to try to concentrate on a lesson that we're trying to teach, like math or science or social studies, and all they're worried about is, are mom and dad going to still be together when I get home? Because I heard them fighting and dad was throwing things at mom. And these are some of the issues that we have. I had students not long ago that they didn't have a toilet. They had to do what they do in a bucket and even shower out of a bucket, or not shower, but bathe. I mean, we don't realize where these kids are coming from, you know, and we could tell a lot of stories, right, Sister Karen? This whole world is suffering. What does the Scripture say? They are groaning and travailing, waiting for who? You and you and me. They're waiting for us. To do what? And how can we help them? And how can we do that? How can we make our calling and election sure? Being faithful, right? So now what we're talking about is we're going to pack our bags, right? So, in this car, we want to pack our bags. Now, I usually travel not this light. How about you? So, as a result, we want to pack our bags on this journey. And what does the Lord want to see us pack our bags with? What is the process by which we're going to make our calling election sure? What are we going to need? Precious promises. Why are those important, Sister Karen? Not Sister Karen, Sister Joanne, sorry.
Well, because Peter says this is how we make our calling and election sure.
Please say it again.
This is how we make our we make our calling and election sure by claiming the promises, making them real in our lives, and through them we change our character to become more Christ-like by claiming all the promises.
Good. Can you read 1 Peter 1:4 for us? Now, you talk about a vehicle. We're in this VW vehicle. But, brethren, I think this, in part, is your vehicle, which he's about to read.
This is the New American Standard. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away.
I'm sorry, it may be
Second Peter.
Peter. Thank
yeah,
you.
I think so.
But that's a good one.
For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust.
Did you catch that? We have these exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? That by these promises, these great and precious promises, you might become partakers of the divine nature. First of all, by claiming them, right? And how can you claim them if you don't study to find out what all those are, right? Okay. So as a result, you claim the promises, right? You claim them as for your own through Christ and through the blood of Christ when you made your consecration to do his will. And now as a son in sonship, right, you're able to use those to help transport you. How many have been transported by recalling the promises? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Don't forget the second part of that scripture. Okay, it might be important someday. Second of all, his ears are always open unto my prayers, right? And I know that all things work together for good because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. So as a result of that, we claim those promises and many more, and they help to transport us through the tough times, especially. Right? So we want to make sure we're packed with those promises. What about humility? Is it important to have humility? Why is humility important? To be teachable, right? We need to be teachable, right? Because the Heavenly Father can't work with somebody who's not teachable. And usually that means they have some pride. It's a little too much ego, right? So when you start out on this, you not only want to pack these important elements of humility and the promises, you want to pack love and you want to be teachable, you want to be humble. Now there's a little difference between meekness and humility. Humility involves more the way you look at yourself. It is only when you're little in your own eyes that God can use you with safety to yourself. Let me repeat that. Brother Russell stated it. It's only when you are little in your own eyes that God can use you with safety to yourself. So you want to have humility, right? After all, you go under the first veil of the tabernacle, you got to bow down, don't you? Humility. Go under the second veil, you got to bow down too, right? In fact, a lot of those pyramid passages, you know, as you make your way up the king's chamber, those, how many have been there? Wonderful opportunity, right? I wish I would have gone too. Yeah, but I understand you have to bow down and get down pretty low, don't you, to go up those passages? It's all showing what? Humility. It's really important. God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Okay. Yep. 10 minutes. Okay. Thanks. So, as a result of that, we need not only humility, how about patience? Do we need to pack our bags with patience? By patience, what? Right. And if you looked, if you turn with me to James 1, 2, and 3, and if I can ask somebody to read that, James 1, 2, and 3, we're gonna find some trials along the road. We're gonna find some steep grades that we go up, right? And some of these steep grades going up, how many have been on their way to Florida and went through the Appalachian Mountains? Pretty steep grades. Some of them could be pretty challenging, couldn't they? Right? But these could be like our trials, because that's part of our journey too. We're gonna have trials. We're going to have construction issues on the road. We're going to have maybe things that fall off a truck and they're on the road, or maybe a part of a retread tire that's there that we got to maybe move around that's pretty big and could be hazardous, right? We're going to have some trials. But as a result, this is part of our development along this journey. The Lord says, it's going to be there, but I'm going to use those to develop you in Christ-likeness, which is our main goal, right? So who can read that for us? Somebody have that? Who's near a mic and has that? Can you read it up here, Brother Ed? James 1,
verse 2 and 3.
2 and 3, yeah.
My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Good. It's almost like this. It's like saying, look, faith is important. That's one of those things you want to pack and pack plenty of, because you're striving for an Abrahamic faith, right? An Abrahamic faith. I think it's possible to perfect your intentions, don't you? Should you strive for perfection of intentions? I think it's possible to do that. I also think it's possible to have a perfect faith, because I think Abraham had one. Now, that's pretty tough to have his kind of faith, but I think it's possible, and I think that's my opinion, that Abraham achieved that level, and that's why he became the father of the faithful. So those are things we really can work hard for, and we may never attain, but by the Lord's grace, somebody might, right? And it's sure worth striving for. But here's the point of the scripture. In other words, that the trying of your faith, in other words, your faith is under trial, right? It's under trial. It's under testing. And as a result of that properly applied, properly trained, what's going to be the outgrowth? That the trying of your faith, what? Worketh patience. That's like the peach that grows on the end of the branch. The beautiful peach. And what does the Lord desire of us? Fruitage. So it's through these tough experiences that we have, these challenges along our journey, that under the constancy of development, what son is he whom a father hath not? Think it not strange the fiery trial that shall try you as though some strange thing has happened, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are made partakers of Christ's sufferings. Because if you are buried in the likeness of his death, you shall what? Be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. So in this whole process, you're developing fruit. And that's the way we glorify our Heavenly Father, by developing the fruit. We can't go on from year to year to year as if all things are the same. Because, like maybe somebody you've heard before say, nothing changes unless something changes, right? You have to change some things in your life. You better go home just a little bit different from this convention and say, I'm going to work on this, and I'm going to work on that, and maybe this too in my life. And I'm going to change that variable so the result will end up differently, and I'll be more improved in Christ's likeness. Sister Bessie.
in the same James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So this is another scripture that shows that if we endure all the temptations, that we could be faithful and receive the crown of life, which we are endeavoring to receive if we are faithful in doing God's will.
Very important points. Very important points. Thank you so much for sharing that. Okay, so now we need an hour for this talk. We're only partway on this journey. But I'm going to kind of summarize it up here so we can move on. So you packed a lot of these different items that you really need to take with you. Also, you got to watch your tire pressure, right? Tire pressure could have to do with what? Maybe your self-esteem? Is it bad to have a good self-esteem? The problem is when you have too much self-esteem, right? So you could overinflate your tires thinking, I'm going to get some really good gas mileage here, so I'm going to overinflate my tires. But what could happen? Well, when you get out on those hot roads, right, it heats up and that air will expand. And when that air expands, that tire could blow and you could have an accident, right? So you got to watch that pride issue, that ego issue that you don't think too much of yourself. On the other hand, you don't want to deflate those tires to the point you don't have enough air pressure in them because you're not going to get good gas mileage that way. So you don't want to have such a low opinion of yourself that you become dysfunctional to the Heavenly Father. Oh, I can't do that, and I could never do that. When I was a little boy sitting here, you know, in the Detroit class, I never wanted to be an elder because I would have been too nervous to get up and give a prayer, you know, in front of the congregation. So I never wanted to be an elder because it was just scary to me thinking you'd have to get up in front of a bunch of people. The only way I get up in front of you today is by the grace and power of Jesus Christ and His strength working through my imperfections, because His strength is made perfect in my what? Then I'm strong. When I glory in my infirmities and let the power of Jesus Christ work through me, then I'm strong. Then I can do things that I never thought I could do, because it's not me anymore that's doing it, is it? It's Him. So as a result of that, I make sure that I set my tire pressure just right. Now there's potholes on the road. I get on my journey and I'm going down. What could be some of these potholes along the way? You don't want to hit those potholes, do you? Sometimes in the spring, you know, the thawing and everything, I mean, what happens is that road gets beat up pretty bad, doesn't it? Especially here in Michigan, right? Especially go up I-75. Well, I'm going to suggest some of these potholes you got to be careful about on your journey is not to be a busybody in other people's affairs, right? 2 Thessalonians 3:11 says, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Facebook, the computer, transmissions of, did you hear this about so-and-so and whatever? These could be potholes in your Christian walk, brother. And the Lord might not be very favorable to you sharing that information which might be uncomplimentary about somebody else, right? 1 Timothy 5:13, "And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking those things which they ought not." Now, this is really serious. This puts you in a really bad company. This scripture says in 1 Peter 4:15, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief." Is that pretty bad? "As an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." Well, that's serious. When he puts you in that company with thieves and murderers and then busybody, you need to watch that. You need to be careful about that, right? How about rendering evil for evil? Could that be a pothole? Sure. You don't want to render evil for evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5:5 it says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both amongst yourselves and all men." We don't want to speak evil of anybody either, right? That's another pothole. You could damage your tire, break an axle, right? So the scriptures say, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." James 4:11. "He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." Now, you don't want to be in that position because that's not your place, right? And so we got to be very careful about what we say about others, right? God's going to judge us by the same standards that we judge ourselves. Our time's up, isn't it? I was afraid you're going to say that. Well, there's a lot more potholes. I want you to be thinking about what some of those potholes are and what some of the obstacles are. You know the obstacles mainly. It was mentioned earlier. The what? Three great enemies, the world, the flesh, and the adversary. Now, the adversary in our journey would have been one of those hitchhikers along the way that we wouldn't want to pick up, and we would want to resist and take off before he got into our car, right? But we won't be able to elaborate on that. But those are some of the things we want. What about the billboards? Could they be distractions? As you journey home from this convention, I want you to think, what are those distractions? Could they be worldly attractions trying to attract you away from where you're headed? To try to detour you off in another direction, away from your goal, right? To get to Canaan, your heavenly Canaan? Absolutely. So watch out for those billboards of distractions. Could be television, could be magazines, could be maybe too much involved in certain hobbies or arts or music or whatever, and you don't have a good balance in your Christian life. Maybe you're rationalizing a bit to do things that the flesh would like to do. Watch out for those distractions and those obstacles, right? And certainly your flesh will be the biggest one, but the adversary is crouched right at the door, and he's got a clipboard on us with all of our weaknesses, and he knows just how to hit those over and over again to try to trip us up. He's the great trapper. Never forget that he's there, and he would like to kill you if he could, but if he can kill you spiritually, he'll do that. If he can kill you morally, he'll do that. But he can't touch you as long as those guardian angels aren't given permission to let him do anything to you, all right? Because like Jesus said to Pilate, you can't do this unless it was what? Given power for you to do that, right? So we have that protection, but we've got to make good choices. Boy, there's a lot of benefits in this trip. Hopefully you will get to your destination. I'm afraid my destination arrived too soon because my time is up. I'm going to see that big hook coming out. So I'm going to leave it there, and we're going to just pray for all of you, brethren, that you will and we will all reach our heavenly Canaan, and there will be a new Jerusalem, right, where a lot of people in the world are looking for that bride that will eventually meet that assistant superintendent and be joined with them in blessing all the families of the earth. And you all know the scripture, but this is really the end of our story. In Revelation 21, in closing, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared" what? "As a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Brethren, don't lose your vision and run with everything you have. Make sure you have the right fuel in that car and make sure you don't lose your direction or get detoured along the way. This is your day. Your day is your life. Only one day will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
There we go. I certainly enjoyed that. It was different, and we appreciate the interaction that Brother Larry brings to us in this in his talk. And it's almost like going to AAA, and they put your trip together for you, make sure you got everything all situated and organized. And here you gave us a AAA account of a trip for us. So we appreciate that. Thank you.